Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, we want to welcome you to another rendition of Faith Under Construction. I'm your host, Pastor Gregory Anderson. We're getting ready to get started. Let's get it. Hey everybody, we're back, Faith Under Construction, with me, your host, Pastor Gregory Anderson. We're getting ready to get into it. We want to first off thank God and give honor to Him for waking us up another day, for another day's journey. We want to give out some shout outs and some congratulations to all those born in the month. And we want to first say thank God for the Edom Network, which is sponsoring Faith Under Construction, brought to you by Pastor Hamill Smith. Also, we want to thank God for St. James Church, who is also our sponsor for today. St. James is located at 820 McDonough Street, between on the corner of Broadway and McDonough. That's 820 McDonough Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11233. Also, Say It on the Shirt, Just For You, by the Church of Living God, that is Just For You, by COTLG.com. And we want to give another shout out to CEO Des, CEODES.dreamtrips.com. We want to thank God for all of our sponsors and everybody that is helping Faith Under Construction and supporting us. So let's get into what we're talking about today. We are getting into about today faith to stand for your deliverance. We're going to be referencing and coming out of the book of John, the 8th chapter. And just to give you just a quick groundwork and basis of where I'm getting my discussion from today, I'm just going to read a portion of the scripture. It says, John chapter 8, verse 1 says, Jesus went up the Mountain of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. And Moses in his commandments commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they may have accused him. But Jesus stopped down with his finger and wrote on the ground, and as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it began, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Here's the part I want to get to. When Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thy accusers? Have none man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So, you may say, well, what they got to do with standing for my deliverance? I'm afraid to stand for my deliverance. Well, I like to submit to you for argument. Most of us say we believe God. Most of us say that we trust Him, we love Him, and we honor Him and we adore Him. But I also submit to you that most of us, with that same breath, don't have the faith to stand for complete deliverance. What do you mean, preacher? Well, we go to church, we go to prayer service, we go to Bible study, and we go not for the people or just out of sheer tradition. We go because we genuinely love God. But in that same genuineness, we have a fear of what others think of us. And because of that fear, we fail to relinquish all that we can to God, and we don't get fully delivered. We get partially blessed, we get partially delivered, and those things that we fail to fully let go and fully let God be in control of them, we go back with them and they fester, they get bigger, and we have bigger mess ups, bigger boo-boos. I submit to you, this woman here was dragged into a service. The Bible said Jesus was sitting teaching. And when he was teaching, the Pharisees and those came to trick Jesus. You read it. Choosing this woman, not only accusing her, but admitting that they found her in adultery, in the very act, meaning she was having relations with a man when they busted her. And Jesus stooped down and began to write on the ground. Actually heard them not. And they began to keep questioning him. And he just said to them, well, listen, here y'all around here, any one of y'all without sin, y'all cast a stone, kill her. The Bible said they being convicted, their own conscience, all begin to leave. Nobody was there. Jesus said, where are the accusers? She said, I have none. She said, neither do I accuse you. Go your way and sin no more. I come to let you know that woman had faith. She had faith to stand in a hard place to get fully delivered out of her problems. You can dial in. The number to call is 1-657-383-0510, and you press 1 to talk. That number again, 1-657-383-0510, and you press 1 to talk. So here we are. You said, preacher, but where was her faith? Let's look at it. First of all, my first point in this lesson, in this discussion, the Bible said Jesus was already teaching. So the sheer nerve of these men to interrupt the proceeding of God's teaching was bold enough. Then to come in and indict themselves, basically tell on themselves. According to Scripture, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, that those men that came in with her should have been stoned as well. For Leviticus 20 and 10 tells us, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, the adulterer and the adulteress are both should be put to death. They both should die. They both should be stoned. Because you know that that woman was married. So for them to come in while Jesus was teaching, to stop, to tell on this woman, and eventually and quite clearly telling on themselves, was bold. They had to have such a come in and try to trick him like this. So they did that. But Jesus did not even attack them the way most people would attack, you know, shut up, you're a false prophet, you're out of order and all that kind of thing. No, 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 no. Our God is much more wise than our infinite mind can ever comprehend. The Bible said he didn't give them any play. He just simply stooped down. And in my biblical imagination, I like to say he was just writing on the ground the contract. He was signing a contract of man's redemption. And he began to trap the trappers. Here's my second point. God will trap your trappers. He said to them, okay, I realize, he said, I realize you're trying to trap me. So here it is. You without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible said that they all was convicted and had to leave. Now, here's the silver lining, and here's the thing I want to draw your attention to. We read first that he was already teaching and they were sitting. Why did the whole church leave? Why did everybody get out? Why did those that he was already teaching get up and leave? I like to submit to you because they all were guilty. Not guilty of adultery, but guilty of sin. And they allowed their sin to shame them from the very thing that they came to get. Now, we have to understand in this context and in the Jewish law that all these people were men that were already being taught by Jesus. They were men already in the temple. The Bible tells us that. But why did they leave? They left because they could not bear the shame of their sin being shown to the community like this woman was. But I want you to know that she had the faith to stand. She stood right in the face of her accusers, no matter what they thought about her, said about her, even tried to kill her. She did not leave because she recognized that this was something special about this man that was on that ground, that he wasn't looking at her like everybody else. That's in my opening statement. We go to church, we go to Bible class, we go to prayer meetings, we go to all these different places seeking God. But internally, are we really getting what we need? Are we really letting it all go? Are we not caring about what our neighbors are thinking? This is why these men left. Because if they would have stayed, they would have had to face their sin like that woman. She had to face being an adulteress. She had to face being called an adulteress and not knowing what her fate was going to be. But having enough faith to stand there and say, you know what, yes, I am that liar. I am that adulterer. I am that fornicator. I am that thief. I am that backbiter. I am that liar. And because she had the faith to stand there, God was able to give her what she needed. Look what he told her. He said, I don't condemn you. Now you go your way and sin no more. I like you to understand that Jesus come to set you free. He said, I don't care what you did. But I want you to understand that I am your God. It's 1-657-383-0510. Push 1 to talk once you dial in. He said, I'm your God. Go your way and sin no more. Go your way and sin no more. What is that saying to us? That's saying to us that our God is able, what the scripture says, to do exceedingly abundantly, above all we can ask or even think. Some scenarios we enter into and we fail to think God can deliver us or God even wants to do anything with us. And he said, I'm your father. I'm not telling you that you're not going to trip. See, we enter in Christianity just like babies. We say that, but we really don't believe it. Once you become the learner of the goodness of Jesus as a child, you are simply that, a child. Even if you are old and you never knew anything about Christ, once you enter this life, you are coming in a newness of life. You are a babe. And he's telling you, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to trip up. But don't let your sin shame you so bad that you run out of the presence of the very thing that can deliver you. These people were already sitting. These men were already sitting with Jesus, listening to him, being taught by him. But because of shame, because of their sin shaming them so much, they left the very thing that they needed because they were afraid what other people were going to think. I submit to you, it's time to come out of fear of what your neighbor's going to think, of what people are going to say when the service is over, what they're going to say on the ride home. It doesn't matter. Your soul is much more important. God cares about you. He cares about your complete self, your mental self, as well as your physical being, your outer being. I want you to look good, smell good, be better. And these Pharisees, these kind of people that are always going to enter our life, they're always going to enter our life to try to trip us up, hold us and pin us to something that we've done, that we're trying to break free from. Some people don't believe that you can graduate and elevate past your mistakes. Some people believe that you are your mistake. And I come to say it to you that that is not true. You are not your failures. You have to strive past them. They're lessons. They're things that you can learn from them. Do better. Become better. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. And you go at it again. That's what Jesus told this woman. And he went on to read, when you continue to read in John chapter 8, he went on to say furthermore, he said, I'm the light. Those that follow me are keepers of that light. And I want you to know this. Once you accept Christ, you turn on that light in a dark world. The Bible says men love darkness because it hides their secret and evil endeavors. But once you decide to connect with the energy on and your light shining on, you become a target. So everything that is negative and that is anti-Christ is going to try to attack you, attach itself to you, to dim your light, to make you feel like you don't have a light, make you feel like you don't can't voice your faith or your belief in God and how you adore it because you have some dirt. But the cleanest person in the world clean the house every day and for just a week don't do anything, there'll be some dust. Even if you clean every day, there's going to be some dust. It doesn't matter how much you tighten up. You're going to find something you can always correct. There's always room for improvement in everybody's life. Just because there's room for improvement doesn't mean you don't improve. There's no perfection in this earth the way the world looks at perfection. The world sees perfection as no mistakes, no mess-ups, everything is perfect. No, nothing is out of place. But I submit to you, God doesn't look at perfection that way. Learn from it and move on. Let's look at David. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. But David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. But he was a man after God's own heart. Now, that's not giving you a license to sin. No. I'm not telling you to sin. Don't. Let's get off of that. I'm not encouraging you to be a murderer or adulterer and saying, oh, you can just ask forgiveness. That's not the case. That's not my point. My point is that God looks past our mess-ups and gives us an opportunity every day to be better. He told that woman, condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. Don't be entangled with that again. The woman was guilty. But like I told you, the men were also guilty. And guess what? The men were guilty, but they left. He didn't condemn them either. Because they could not. That brings me back to Psalms 1. It says, sinners can't even stay in the congregation of the righteous. Once that woman stayed there and made her decision that she wasn't going to run from her phone, you cannot face, it's an old saying, you cannot tell demons. She faced that adultery. She's faced the punishment that may come down the pipeline. And because she had the obedience and the faith to stand, she got delivered. And guess, that is my argument. We don't stand because we don't have the faith enough in God to believe he will fully deliver us. So we run with partial deliverance. And that's why every week we have another problem and a bigger problem. And it seems like it get worse. And an elder in my church should say, worse and worse. No such thing, but because you're not willing to turn around and face it and correct it. And that's what Jesus is allowing us to do every day. Every day we wake up, he's allowing us to face it, to get it right, to change it. But if you keep pushing it in the back burner because it's uncomfortable, you're just going to have an uncomfortable life. This is my second point. We have to have a relationship over religion. Uh-oh. Relationship. Jesus said, I am the Father. He that seen me has seen the Father. He said, I have such a great relationship with my Father that I don't even do anything on my own. Everything I do is because my Father gave me credence to do so. That's the kind of relationship we need to have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That before we make decisions, we consult him. What kind of relationship can you have with anybody if you don't consult and talk? It's not about my own life. No, you have a right. That's why he gave you free will. But he wants you to use your right to love him, to honor him, treasure him. So we have to learn how to choose a relationship over religion. And religion says, yeah, I'm going to come to this service. I'm going to say all the right things. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give tithe and give offering. But I'm not going to really show you where I'm bleeding. Because if I do, I don't know what you're going to try to do to me after service. If I show you where I'm really bleeding, I'm really hurting that, I don't know how you're really going to look at me. Are you really going to love me? You going to let me sing next week? Are you going to let me sit in the pulpit? Are you going to let me do this? Not realizing God wants to heal you everywhere you hurt. And everywhere you hurt, God will see you through. He'll take your pain away. You have to understand that and believe that. And I know, don't get it twisted. I know there's a lot of so-called preachers out here that have abused that authority. But see, that's the best beauty about faith. It's the beautiful thing about faith, and it's the most sickening thing about it. That no matter what I believe, and as human beings and as people of God and as children, we always in what we see. That's why Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things that are not seen and the evidence of things that are hoped for. You can't see this thing. This has got to be built on relationship of prayer, fasting, trusting. And that's why the enemy attacked you in that area. That's why they attacked these men over here in John chapter 8, because they were so ashamed of what they've done. They were so ashamed of what they'd done that they weren't ashamed of it at all. Because if they were truly ashamed, they would have stood to receive what they needed. But they were so ashamed, they left to make it look like they had what they needed, but they didn't have it. Because people like to put on the air that I'm okay when I'm really not. I've got it all together when I'm barely making it. My mentor tells me, say, all the time, he says, you know, a closed mouth don't get fed. And even though God knows your thoughts and knows everything about you, he said, I can't willingly do anything without your consent. This is what God ordered since the beginning of time. He gave man credence. This is why he doesn't do anything independently out of man. God uses man. This is why when Elijah was crying, woe is me, I'm doing all this by myself. So I said, come out of the cave. I've got 77,000. I've got many more that did not bow down. They're not the only one. And so what I'm telling you is, you're not alone. People that's striving to do what is right every day. May not have the name, may not have the popularity, but they have the character. They have the anointing. You have to come out of the normalcy of what society thinks and consider what God wants and what God thinks and how he's moving and how he's doing things. Because when you look at this woman in John chapter 8, she was already teaching. People had already come there of their free will to hear what he had to say. He came down from the Mount of Olives and he came to the temple and he sat down and he taught them. They made a choice to listen. It got real because deliverance started taking place and sin started being rooted up. They were so ashamed when they found out that they had sinned, they ran. And I submit to you, we do the same thing. we come for our fine emotional thrill and our conscious to be at peace, but we're really not toiling with the thing that we should toil with. We're not really putting the dirt on the table. We're not really putting the whole, the conclusion of the matter on the table. The number to dial is 1-657-383-10 First one to talk. We have to put it on the table. So my first point, I repeat it again. God will trap your trappers. Those that come to try to pin you down. So old saying says, if you dig one ditch for me, you better dig another ditch for yourself. Because the very thing you try to slip me up with and try to catch me, you'll be finding yourself in the same problem. So God will provide a way of escape. If you resist the devil, he will flee, and the Lord will provide a way of escape. My second point, have a relationship with him over religion. Religion say, I'm going to appear to do right. Religion, first of all, is anything I do in repetition. I repetitiously go to work every day. See, that can be my religion. No, but my relationship says, no matter what is going on in my life, I honor you enough. And my relationship and what we got going on, that I'm going to do this because I'm in covenant. I'm in relationship. So have a relationship over religion. 3, Jesus came to free you. Free you. He freed that woman. He freed that woman. Now guess what? Those same men that's going to come around and try to get that woman with adultery, she's going to have another conversation for him. She's going to have another outlook. She got another outlook on life. A new stand that she didn't have before because she was able to have faith to stand for her deliverance. She didn't move. She didn't run like the rest of them. She could have ran. She could have walked off. Because the accusers left, she could have walked off too. But she wanted to know, why are you giving me this chance? And look what Jesus did. I don't condemn you either. Go your way and sin no more. I have nothing to condemn you about either. Because I see that you stayed. You stayed, so I'm now begging your pardon. And some people, if you just allow me this, I say this. I have to believe that Jesus was writing this on the ground. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. I believe he was begging her pardon. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because she stayed. See, what those Pharisees didn't realize is they was bringing her before already crucified Christ, because he is now, then, and always. And he saw past her past and saw what the future was like ahead, that she would be a voice in that town for those men to become saved. We don't know what could have happened to her if she just left and didn't get pardoned, didn't say nothing. But she stood there. Take the shame. Take the abuse. The Bible said she was in the midst of all. Can you imagine? Now, these are all men now. The only woman who was there was her. Standing there. Caught in a very act of adultery. So we can assume that her body was still pulsating and certain things were still happening in her. She may have not been dressed or the proper way, because she was caught in the very act, and I don't know anybody having relations fully dressed. So let's just assume for the sake